Welcome to The Rebound, where we'll explore the issues facing supply chain managers as our industry gets back up and running in a post-COVID world. This podcast is hosted by Abe Eshkenazi, CEO of the Association for Supply Chain Management, and Bob Troublecock, Editorial Director of Supply Chain Management Review. Remember that Abe and Bob welcome your comments. Now to today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of The Rebound. I'm Bob Troublecock.
And I'm Abe Eshkenazi.
Well, and this is where I would normally say, and joining us today is, but today it's just me and Abe. And as it turns out, after nearly 70 episodes, this is the last episode of the podcast. And I guess I could tell you why. That's because in a few weeks after this recording, I'm riding off into the sunset. So Abe, it's been quite a run.
Bob, I couldn't imagine that, number one, that we do 70 episodes after we started this. But secondly, the individuals that we've met and the topics that we've covered has been so not only informational, but so inspirational about supply chain. I'm pretty excited about, you know, not only the field, but a lot of the people that we met and the changes that they're, you know, really implementing in our environment.
You know, and if I blow our horn a little bit, and buyer beware, I have not actually confirmed this stat. I am a reporter. I'm supposed to do that. But somebody told me we're the number three ranked supply chain podcast. Now, I jokingly say that's a little bit like being the third best surfer in Kansas. But still, you know, I think we've done okay. It's been an awful lot of fun. And you're right. We've really, we've really covered the breadth. I wanted to look back a few years. I remember a call we had in the spring of 2020. I want to get, you know, what you recall. The world was shutting down then because of COVID. Supply chain was leading the news, and not for great reasons. You know, it was consumers couldn't get toilet paper and chicken breasts. We were getting a lot of attention and for all the wrong reasons. So what did you want to get out of the Rebound? In many respects, this was your baby.
Yeah, really interesting, Bob. You know, when I called you, I really had just an inkling of what I thought we needed to provide the market, not only supply chain professionals, but the consumers and the general public in mind, patients alike. And first was an understanding of supply chain. I'm not sure that we really had a clear, not only knowledge of what supply chain was. I mean, even individuals in the industry had a hard time explaining to their friends and their family what they did for a living. So that was first, get individuals to understand what supply chain is all about. Secondly, some confidence in our supply chain. We took a pretty bad hit during COVID in terms of being able to respond to the various shifts in demand as well as surges. We did not do a good job within the supply chain. So back then, we needed to provide some confidence that the supply chain will respond to the various challenges as we have in the past. So that was, you know, among the first. Secondly, the supply chain leaders, giving them an opportunity to identify how they are improving their organization, how they're focused not only on providing what consumers need, but ensuring that we do so in a sustainable manner. So supply chain leaders, that those individuals that worked on the back office, those men and the women who really make the world go, needed to have a voice. And I think we provided them some voice in the marketplace about the changes that they're impacted by and the changes that they're impacting. And then lastly, the global nature of supply chain. I'm not sure most people really understand how interconnected supply chain is across the globe with the various industries and the various products and services that we need. To give people an insight in terms of how complex it is, but more importantly, how critical it is to our lives, to our economies, to our ecologies.
One observation, and then, you know, one other question. One, when you said that, supply chain leaders had a hard time explaining to their, you know, to their friends and family what they did. I used to joke that if you want to empty a dinner party, invite me. And then, like, when you want people to leave, just ask them, well, what is supply chain management, Bob? And I could empty the room like in no time going through that. But one of our guests, Lynn Terrell, who's now the chief procurement officer at Google, said to me, I did an interview with her in Supply Chain Management Review, and then we had her on the podcast. And she said to us, you know, thank you. My mother now knows what I do for a living. So I do think we brought, you know, some level of attention and understanding, you know, to our audience. When you go through those points that, you know, you had in mind when we started this, and also the broader supply chain, just looking back, one, do you think we pulled it off? And two, How do you assess how supply chain pulled this off, getting through, what was a very difficult time?
Yeah, I think in some respects, I think we've made some, dent in the marketplace in terms of the information. I think there's a much better, not only, the sort of understanding of the term supply chain, while there may not be a deep understanding of what it takes to actually affect a very, an efficient supply chain, at least we don't have to explain to people that there is a supply chain that does provide their products and all the things that we need as consumers and patients alike. So that was first. And then when we take a look at the, the industry itself, we're still dealing with some of the challenges that we experienced in COVID, and that is stockouts were, in rent in different industries, we're seeing that we're still struggling. The Panama Canal, the Red Sea issues, we have not come out of this clean just yet. And I think there is quite a bit more work to be done on supply chain, especially on the sustainability side. I think we have a say-do gap there. And as we've covered over and over again, it's not a function of organizations and individuals not being aware. I think we're all aware of what the impact of supply chain is on our ecologies. But I think the challenge that we have, as you're pointing out, is now doing something about it. We know the clear challenges that we have in front of us. Now we need to implement some of the solutions. And this is where I have a lot more confidence because when you hear the supply chain professionals and the impact that they're making on their organizations sustainably, you have to be heartened by what the future holds for us.
I hesitate to use the phrase silver lining given, everything we went through, but bear with me a moment. Do you think if there was a positive outcome, it's that it accelerated things that were kind of happening or were going to happen anyway in supply chain, but in order to just get through the moment or respond to the moment, and I'm not just talking about the shutdown, but then everything that we dealt with when we started back up and, we're experiencing really, severe shortages and things like that. Do you think what the experience that we all went through accelerated the moment and accelerated the evolution of supply chain?
Yeah, I think it did. I think we had it within ASCM, we had a number of years ago predicted that the path to leadership in organizations would have been through supply chain as it had been through finance and a couple of other functions. When we take a look at the role of the supply chain professional in organizations today, we share that there are really only two functions in an organization that have to know everything that goes on in the company. Obviously, the first is finance. Nothing in the organization occurs without finance having a role or having a function within the, the development as well as the management of it. The second is supply chain. Nothing happens within an organization that does not involve the supply chain, either on the sourcing, the planning, or on the manufacturing or logistics side. And so when you take a look at the individuals that are leading supply chains, these are competent, capable individuals, and now they have a voice. We used to argue, as I said, within ASCM, that supply chain professionals needed a voice at the table, at the C-suite. Now we do have a voice, Bob. We have supply chain professionals at the C-suite. Now they need to use their voice to, to make the necessary changes. These are very competent, capable individuals, and now they're in a position to make the necessary changes for their organizations. I think that's a significant step forward. I'm not sure it would have happened as quickly, because of the challenges that we went through. I think it did accelerate it.
Getting ready for this episode, I did a little, walk down memory lane and looked over all the people that we've had on as guests. And one thing in particular struck me was that we really did manage, the cover, the breadth of supply chain management. You just outlined the SCORE model, right? Plan, source, make, deliver, return. And I think we hit every one of those categories multiple times. And talked about sustainability. We talked about talent development. We talked about some new business models. I was really, really proud of the diversity and variety of things we put together. So I thought to wrap this up, we could take a look back at maybe five episodes that really stood out. I selected them. So I'm going to talk about them, tell you a little bit about what struck me. And then tell me, what you recall from that one, and then we'll look at the other four. So the first one for me was episode two with Greg Tornman. And Greg is the Vice President of Global Materials, Logistics, and Demand Planning for AGCO. AGCO, if you're not familiar with them, is one of the largest manufacturers of agricultural equipment in the world. And Greg was brought to me by Steve Banker, who's a supply chain analyst in Boston, because Steve had an interview with him and was just really impressed. And what impressed him and what impressed me was that at AGCO, they had operations in Wuhan. And they started hearing, you know, vibrations like back in December that something was going on. They didn't quite know what. They didn't know it was, you know, going to be a pandemic, that it was going to be worldwide. They just knew it was something that was going on, and they had major operations there, and they had to respond. They had put in a real, you know, good sensing platform within their organization. They listened, they took it seriously, and they started preparing, you know, for what happened in Wuhan. Part of it was like getting PPE, you know, before PPE was a problem, and getting it over to Wuhan so that they could continue to operate. They developed this playbook to get them through in China. So when it started moving, you know, west and went into Italy, well, they had a lot of operations in Italy, and they took that same playbook and, you know, put it to use there, and working with government officials, were able to continue to operate in some fashion in Italy. Well, then it moved into, you know, Brazil and South America. Same thing. At the time we interviewed them, they had really gotten through with very little in the way of disruption to their operations. Now, going forward, I'm sure that they probably started running out of parts just like everybody else. Nothing you can do about that when your suppliers are shut down. But the important thing to me was they were listening. They weren't just, you know, writing it off. They weren't dismissing it. They were listening. They had that sensing in their organization, and they had a resilience plan in place and were able to execute on it. And that was like before everybody was talking about resilience and agility. So anyway, that one really struck me, and it was, you know, number two out of the gate.
I couldn't agree with you more, Bob. When you take a look back in terms of the, you know, the challenges that the pandemic really thrust upon us, there were a lot of latent issues within supply chain, and AGCO seemed to have addressed the visibility part and the, you know, within their supply chain, which did provide them that early warning systems. But to your point, having an early warning system is one thing. Having a playbook or scenario plan in which you make the necessary changes is a very different dynamic for a lot of organizations. More often than not, they're not prepared for the types of disruptions that we're facing today. Usually, as we all know, we tend to focus on the last disruption as opposed to what possibilities or what could occur today. And I think that's what really separated AGCO from me, is that not only did they have the visibility, but they had the flexibility within their system to make the necessary changes. Again, when you're talking, as you pointed out, Bob, the resiliency, this is the new hallmark for organizations today, is to be resilient, is to ensure that you are in operations no matter what. And you can fill in that, you know, no matter with pandemics, geopolitical issues, a lot of the environmental issues. We have dealt with so many disruptions, and having that visibility into their extended supply chain so they could get the early warning systems enabled them to not only respond a little bit quicker than most, but more importantly, that they're agile enough to take advantage of the opportunity where others were really locked down.
So the second one I'd like to highlight was episode 20, Marcia Bray from GE Appliances. And in one of our conversations, you had mentioned to me that this one had really stuck out for you. Marcia was so good. We had her twice. We had her on a panel when we did a Rebound Live from ASCM during one of the virtual years. You know, GEA has really adapted its supply chain to the new realities, particularly the digital, you know, the digital age. I know I did a piece with them in Modern Materials Handling, the other book I edit, where they developed something they called the digital thread to get them visibility from the manufacturing floor to their customers, to what's on a truck, to what's in the yard at their distribution centers, and what's in their DCs. That's really quite impressive. We've had them on, other people from GEA, to talk about how they're creating, you know, digital twins, their manufacturing operations. Just a really great company that is really taking steps, you know, to adapt to this new era. What struck out to you about Marcia?
Yeah, I think that word adapt, I think, was key for me, Bob. We talk about, resiliency, and that is understanding what you need to do to stay in business. GE took it to the next step, and that was the agility part. Not only were they resilient, but they were agile enough to make the necessary changes within their organizations. We did that study with the Economist Intelligence Unit about how companies back in 20 were responding to the pandemic, how many of them wanted to get back to where they were prior to the pandemic, and how many of them said, we are never going back to where we were. And it was about a 50-50 split in terms of companies, in terms of their expectations. GE obviously was on, we're never going back to where we were. And they did the necessary steps to redesign their supply chain to take advantage of it and to gain market share. This was an extraordinary step forward for a mammoth organization to redesign their supply chains to take advantage of the agility within their organization. I think this is, when you take a look at companies in terms of, what their expectations are between that resiliency and agility, as we just spoke, most of them will focus on the resiliency. Just get me back. GE, and I think Marsha did an extraordinary job of recognizing that this was a golden opportunity for them to transform their supply chains and take advantage of the disruption, as opposed to seeing it as a limitation on what they can do.
I've had the opportunity to get to know GEA pretty closely in recent years. I've toured some of their factories. I've had them as speakers at my event, done a number of articles with them. And the thing that has really struck me is Bill Good, essentially their chief supply chain officer, has really had a holistic vision. So, along with the things that we talked about with Marsha, which is their logistics and transportation and order fulfillment, or with Allison Seward about how they're creating digital twins of their manufacturing plants, Bill has done things like around recruiting, where he's just said, whatever we've been doing for the last 20 years just isn't working when it comes to, getting people. So we've really got to think about A, how we're developing, it's everything from developing new engineers. They realize that the bulk of their engineering talent was, in its 50s because they hadn't been recruiting a lot of new young people, but also doing things at the line, like they hired a guy in Louisville to work in the factory who turned out to have been a translator in Afghanistan. He was an Afghani refugee, but had worked with our military in Afghanistan. And he let them know that there was a whole population of Afghani refugees in Louisville, who were looking for work. So they kind of turned him into a recruiter and the liaison between the Afghani refugee community and GEA. And at the time that, I interviewed Bill about this, they had 60 or 70 employees that they'd been able to hire. And it was basically saying, we've got to think differently, look in different places. How are we going to do that? To me, they're just a remarkable organization.
Especially given their size, Bob. Yeah, when you talk about an organization, it's one thing to change an organization that is fewer employees and, not a very sophisticated supply chain. When you're talking about GE, you're talking about an extraordinary multinational organization. And to realign it, I think that speaks volumes about their capabilities.
Now, we've had Yossi Sheffy on twice, maybe more, but I know episode 13 and episode 50, they were both tied to books Yossi had done. And I was trying to think about what to say about Yossi. He's always a remarkable interview because Yossi is one of, to me, the real thought leaders in our space. Yossi spoke at ASCM Connect, about AI last year. And it was just, a fabulous presentation. I don't know what to say about Yossi other than every time I talk to him, I learn something. I learned something, from him on these. And, just a remarkable episodes. Tell me about your experience with Yossi and what stands out either from the episodes or even, Yossi as an ASCM presenter, because he's often at your event.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Bob. I mean, this is one of those situations when Yossi speaks, everybody should shut up and listen. He has significant insight in terms of the pulse of supply chain. And what I'm really just in awe of him is how he's been able to transcend that knowledge from, you know, the foundations of supply chain, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s, and then what we're talking about today, he is still among the thought leaders within the industry. When we're talking about the concept of supply chains on just in time and just in case and all the various aspects of AI and blockchain, you can't find a more knowledgeable individual that could really break it down into all the complex parts into understandable pieces so that we can approach it and that we can embrace the opportunity to make the change. Yossi has been a mentor of mine in terms of, you know, what it means to be a supply chain professional and to prepare the industry for these individuals. Again, Yossi is an oracle within the supply chain industry. And I think, as you indicated before, you should invite him every opportunity that you can to speak with him.
You know, a couple of things that have always stood out with me for Yossi. One, he's never been afraid to go against the grain. He wrote a book. He's evolved from this book, but he wrote a book, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, that the subtitle should have been Sustainability, It's All Hooey. Because, you know, the book was basically saying nobody's really doing anything, and what they're doing really isn't going to make a difference. You know, we really need a, you know, concerted industry effort, and we're not doing that. And I remember on one of our episodes, you just mentioned, you know, just in time, just in case, where Yossi on the episode was making the argument that everybody's talking about reshoring and nearshoring, and that's all great, but China isn't going to go away. And just in time is not dead. It just makes too much sense. And the second was that we're, you know, we're all enamored with and still trying to figure out AI. And, you know, he was very down to earth at your event after talking about what's going on at AI by ending it by saying, when I think you might have asked him the question, you know, so what comes next? And his response was, I don't know, ask me in 10 years. So that's the, you know, Yossi gives you the vision, but also gives you the reality. And he did that, you know, on our episodes, which I thought was great. So for the last two, I think one of the things that we did really well, and I know that sustainability is like near and dear to your heart and to ASCM. We had a number of episodes that dealt with sustainability, diversity, and other things that relate to that. I wanted to highlight two of them. One was episode 41 with Claudia Fried from ELO Green. Now, what I loved about this episode, and I've gotten to know Claudia a little bit personally here in Chicago, is, man, she is a force of nature. That's number one, right? You just like wind her up and let her go. But the thing that EL Green is doing is combining supply chain management, sustainability, and philanthropy all in one organization. You know, for those who aren't familiar with them, they get donations from organizations, you know, manufacturers, distributors of excess inventory. She then, one, she's got a supply chain in order to get it in a sustainable manner to one of her two distribution centers where they're going to, you know, inspect it and determine what's the best way to sell it, to break it down and into component parts, all to avoid going to the landfill. So they do that in a sustainable way. They worked out things with transportation providers. They then resell it at a very deep discount to academic institutions. And the difference, the variable between the sale price and what it ought to sell for goes to fund scholarships. So they've got supply chain management. They've got their own supply chain. They've got the sustainability aspect to it. And then they've got the philanthropic aspect to move the organization forward. And I was just really, you know, enamored with and in awe of that organization and the work they're doing. And they have given away millions in scholarships, not necessarily in supply chain, but just educating students.
Now, Bob, I think when you take a look at the circular nature of what they're trying to do, especially in our environment today, in terms of our desire as consumers for variety, we want a lot of stuff and we want a lot of stuff on the shelf and we want it now. And that demand does create a lot of waste. because as producers provide and manufacturers provide all this variety, not everything is going to sell. And I think, you know, Claudia and her team have done an extraordinary job of identifying how we can reduce the waste within the supply chain industry and address a significant gap on the education, on the funding side to get people back into school. What a wonderful way to, you know, reduce the sort of the environmental footprint of supply chains and then also doing good. I can't think of a better sort of dynamic where you have this excess inventory in our supply chains. And it normally would have gone into landfills or into, you know, scrap. And here we're bringing it back into the supply chain and having an impact on individuals' lives. That's a great story for supply chain and for Claudia and her team.
So the last one I wanted to talk about was episode 57. This was the episode that we did live from your 2023 event in Louisville. We had Nico DeGoglia and Deborah Dahl. They are respectively sustainability leaders at Microsoft, that's Nico, and Genpact, that's Deborah. So the thing that was memorable to me about this one, sort of like Claudia, these were just, you know, really, really smart, really energetic, and really committed leaders. Their companies were committed. It was great to hear, you know, about the things that Microsoft and Genpact, you know, two leaders in their industries are doing. But the other thing is, it also kind of pointed the way of the next generation of supply chain leaders, because compared to you and me, these were, you know, these were young supply chain leaders versus old guys like us. And just seeing what the next generation kind of looks like was inspiring to me above and beyond what they're doing.
When you take a look at the individuals, Bob, and what they're bringing into the, you know, the marketplace in terms of their passion and their commitment for sustainability, I think that is an extraordinary step forward for our industry. We do have a say-do gap. Let's face it here. Most organizations indicate that sustainability is among the top priorities within the organizations. And yet when we see the investments and when we see the impact, we tend not to see the, you know, the investment in sustainable practices at the same level as their rhetoric. So that was first. It is heartening to see that individuals do have a commitment to it and that we do not have a say-do gap with their generation. These individuals not only are conscious about what their environment and the impact the supply chain has on it, but they're doing something about it. And I don't know that necessarily 20 or 30 years ago, there would have been a job for either one of these individuals in supply chain. But here we are today. This is from my perspective. I think this could be one of the leading aspects of supply chain in terms of transformation and doing it in a sustainable and a responsible manner. And when you take a look at Nico, when we take a look at Deborah in terms of what they're bringing into the industry, not only the knowledge, but the passion to make a difference, I think we've got a pretty good, you know, head start in terms of getting these people engaged in the supply chain, but also having their voices heard within supply chain. And, you know, we were very lucky to have them at, you know, ASM Connect last year. But I think it does denote that we do have quite a bit of work to do within the supply chain and within the impact that it has on our environment. I think we're all very clear on the economic benefits of supply chain. I think we need to elevate that environmental impact at the same level.
I couldn't agree more. So before I turn this over to you to wrap it up, Abe, I just wanted to say, you know, you and I first talked, it was like May of 2024. So we're almost 4 years. And it has been just an awful lot of fun to co-host the podcast with you. I've been going to, you know, to ASCM events for, you know, I think going back to 2013, but getting to know the organization a little bit better, participating in ASCM Connect, doing this podcast with you. I just can't say enough good about the experience. And again, thanks for the opportunity. It's been a lot of fun. Why don't you take us out?
Bob, when I called you 4 years ago, I had no idea that you and I would learn so much about supply chain after 4 years of meeting the individuals. And I can't thank you enough, not only for your inspiration, but for your insight and your friendship in doing this episodes. We've met a lot of tremendous people who are making changes within supply chain to the benefit of consumers and patients and the world alike. And I just can't, you know, honestly, thank you enough for your commitment, your passion, and your desire to make a difference. So thank you very much, Bob. And as Bob indicated, as this rebound comes to a close, we want to thank you, our incredible listeners, for joining us on this journey. It has been quite a ride. but I wanted to indicate that this isn't goodbye. Rather, it's a chance for us to evolve and bring you something different. So this summer, we're getting ready for a new podcast from ASCM. It's really designed to, you know, not only follow through on the, you know, the promise that Bob and I made to provide that insight into supply chain for consumers and patients, but it's to provide you some insight into the innovation and all the impact that supply chain is having on our lives, on our economies, and our ecologies. So stay with us and you'll see that we're moving forward. Until then, stay with ASCM through our websites, social media, and all the resources that we offer. Keep learning, keep innovating, and stay with us and stay in supply chain. You are making a difference in people's lives. For The Rebound, I'm Abe Ashkenazi.
And I'm Bob Troubletime.
All the best, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you.
The Rebound is a joint production of the Association for Supply Chain Management and Supply Chain Management Review. For more information, be sure to visit ascm.org and scmr.com. We hope you'll join us again.